The sons of Zebedee felt confident to have their mother come and ask them to sit on his right hand and left, because they seemed to be very chief among the apostles, and Peter as well. These were the ones that the Lord showed so much favor to, but they slept. And to me, that's like a sign from the Father saying that all men are going to forsake you. These will be even as you have said. They cannot abide. They cannot stay. They cannot go with you. You will go alone. Verse 48, now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. Not everyone apparently was familiar with his face. And forthwith he came to Jesus, and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus, and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus, according to another gospel, this is Peter, stretched out his hand, and drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Read Isaiah chapter 53. You know, he went as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I have a song for that on my website, oraclesofgod.org. I have a Psalm 22, the crucifixion psalm. Isaiah chapter 53, there are prophecies that he would fulfill. And not only that, all the scriptures of the Old Testament. You know, this blood sacrifice thing. A lot of people say, why is it this blood with Christianity? There's all this blood sacrifice. It is the blood that purged the soul, according to Leviticus 17:11. The blood was offered in exchange for the soul because the life is in the blood. But still, that doesn't really explain to us why this has to be. And it's very simply because, remember, those things are a shadow of what would come. And so the old covenant things, it's not that the blood of animals can save you. It's just they were a shadow of the blood of Christ. And people ask this question all the time. Why did God have to sacrifice his son for our sins? And it's very simple that's the way he designed it to be. He desired that. That's what he wanted to have. I'm going to make it blood. I'm going to make the price blood. Because to inherit eternal life for a bloody, sinful race of creatures, the humans, for us to inherit eternal life, blood must be shed. Blood is required. At the shedding of blood, all our sins are required because our lives are forfeit. And the only way it can be, the only price he's willing to accept in exchange for our lives is blood. More blood, another life in exchange for a life. Because there's no worthiness in us that we should inherit the kingdom. So the worthiness comes from the one who sacrificed himself to redeem us from our sins. It is his worthiness that brings us into the kingdom. Because he was worthy, because his blood was shed, our sins can be forgiven. And without that, there is no covenant. Without that, there is no forgiveness. Why? Because that's what God says. That's how he wants it. He doesn't want it cheaper. He doesn't want to just forgive. He doesn't want to just forgive. He wants blood. What a bloody God you serve. Well, eternal life isn't just something to snuff at, is it? I mean, everyone accepts their death. What do you expect it would cost to avoid that? What would you be willing to pay to live forever? A life for a life. That is the price. God sets the price because he's the one granting the gifts. People always want to set their own price on things. They want to say, well, this is fair, that is fair. It's not a question of what you think or what you want. It's a question of what God demands. And if you don't like it, you don't need to participate. That's one of the beauties of it. There's no need to participate in God's plans for salvation. In fact, if you don't like it, it's very likely it's not for you. Because if it was for you, he would put it in your heart to have an interest in these things, to have a desire for these things, to want to understand as opposed to want to destroy and break down and to criticize. You would rather say, well, I'm a fool, especially when it comes to living forever, So maybe I could learn from this. Maybe there's something that I could be taught instead of taking what I know and trying to dissect everything and destroy everything. Because that's easy to do. Because you set everything up as a straw man. You know, because everything is ridiculous because of what you think. Because of the limitations of your mind, things are ridiculous. Things don't make sense. Because your mind is filled with foolishness. Foolishness. I'm wise. I know what I'm doing. I have a good thinking. I'm one of these, brilliant people, and I have a certain knowledge about the world and the way things work, and logic, and philosophy, and the bloodshed, and the human sacrifice is just awful. Again, well, who told you that? By what standard do you say anything is awful? The bloodshed and human sacrifice, all of us are dying. We're all dying. What are our aspirations? It is typical among humans that what they do not understand, they mock. And they think they do understand it. I get it. No, I do understand. As it says in the Apostle Paul, that God hides wisdom from you. Because if you understood this wisdom, you wouldn't do or say the things you do and say. Because you would seek to preserve yourself. Out of just a sense of your own selfishness. But God has ordained a different path, rather that through something internal in us, He would bring about a desire to seek the truth, so that no man who should not enter in can enter in. No one who wants to approach to God can enter in and approach to God without God having first drawn them in. That's why when people who don't believe and they go at the Bible and they try to dissect it, of course they find nothing but, oh, this is just a bunch of nonsense. That's what you're supposed to find. That's what He's left for you to find. A bunch of nonsense. Stuff that you can't... It just is a big jumble of confusing and contradictory statements. Because it's not for you. And the wisdom is hidden from your eyes. And as you smirk, and as you smile and think you know better, you're just a fool.
You know, Jesus said you shouldn't call anyone a fool.
It's the spirit, not the letter. It's not that I can't say the word fool or say that. I'm calling you a fool to save your life, not to destroy it. And that was the point. Whoever shall say to his brother, thou fool, is equivalent to murder. It's not that he's worried about name calling. It's the spirit in which things are said. Hatred. I don't say that to you to hate you, but maybe to provoke you. Yeah, there's a moment here where the ears cut off. There's an interesting sort of contradiction in this of Jesus at one hand saying, not as I will, but you will. But if I ask, the Father will give me 12 legions of angels.